Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches, and that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us in this endeavor or want other information about the program or Jim Andrews, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Visit our archives there and listen to any program you may have missed. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. We will repeat this info at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. Our email address is jimandrews@thefinalwordradio.com. And now, Jim Andrews.
Good day, friends. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. We have completed our verse-by-verse study of the book of Proverbs, and now to wind it up, we are doing some thematic studies. Now, today, I want to talk about friends and friendships based upon the content of the book of Proverbs. But first, this personal word. Dear friends, embedded in every blessing is a burden. For me, it is an enormous blessing to share God's word with you. But with that blessing comes also the heavy burden of funding this broadcast ministry. If you are able to lift some of this load, the announcer will give you our contact information at the end of the program. I'll help with that now. And you can learn how you can partner with us in maintaining this ministry. You can always contact me directly at 503-699-9840. Or, as most prefer these days, you can go to our website, www.thefinalwordradio.com. There you can learn more about The Final Word. You can learn how you can partner with us, and, more importantly, I think, you can access our archives so that if there are programs you missed, really wanted to hear, you can go directly to our archives and hear them at your convenience. And especially valuable is the asset of being able to direct friends who live outside our broadcast area to the program, and they can listen when and where they want to. We always love to hear from our listeners. We get cards, letters, emails, all that kind of thing. We're so grateful for your encouraging words, and we thank those of you who send us contributions that help us maintain. Now let's talk about words of wisdom about friends and friendships in the book of Proverbs. The most important relationship for us is to establish a friendship with God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father, God the Father, but by me." When we cast ourselves at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, where there he shed his life's blood as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, and there embrace Jesus as the Savior of the world, the Lord of the universe, we are immediately reconciled to God. And immediately, we are no longer hostiles to God, but we are friends. Yes, more than friends. We become members of the very family of God. But, as John Wesley once pointed out, Christianity is a social religion as well as a spiritual religion. In the order of life, God did not intend for us to serve him in solitary, but in healthy social relationships. Friends and friendships have much to say about spiritual and social outcomes. Inherent in them is a kind of gravity, that is, in friends and friendships, that push us in the right directions or pull us in all the wrong directions. The Proverbs contain a wealth of good advice about this very practical subject. Though its counsel is by no means comprehensive, not on any of these themes, the advice it offers about friends and friendships will, if heeded, bring much enrichment to our lives and avert much grief. Consider then its words of wisdom about the benefit of wise friends. First of all, the Proverbs teach us that our friends improve us. Proverbs 27:10 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens man." In chapter 13, verse 20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise." You see, our good friends shape, hone, refine, and improve us. Wisdom is like a virus. Those who stay in intimate contact with it catch it. It rubs off. An athlete who has been closely associated with champions absorbs something of their fiber. People who run in intellectual circles, for better or worse, pick up some of those attributes. You see, you can't live in a barn without smelling like a barnyard. And you can't run with thoroughbreds without picking up speed. You can't soar with eagles without getting a better view of things. So much wisdom there. As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens man. It makes a difference who you run with. You may not rise to those, but they will improve you. He who walks with wise men will be wise, certainly wiser. Our friends not only improve us, but the Proverbs teach that our friends define us. Walking with wise people is not an accident of life. It implies choice. It implies attraction to persons of wise character. It implies spiritual and moral affinity. That you keep constant company with wise men or wise women. The fact that you seek out wise people for friends and associates not only improves you, but that very fact also defines and measures you. It tells us that you are a person of the same stripe. Our close friends are something of a spiritual and moral mirror. Now, that's not an absolute, I want to emphasize. Sometimes people will associate themselves with a person who is wise, may manage somehow to ingratiate themselves with them and stay in their company or circle, at least for a time, because they think they have something to gain. Eventually, that'll fall apart, because the wise, in their wisdom, will eventually detect that, and that will come apart. We must just understand that this is a generalization, and it's a fairly reliable one, but it's not inevitable. People who run with fools will be fools. Those who run with hellraisers are in the spirit, if not, in fact, hellraisers themselves. If your friends are party people, that will generally tell me a lot about you. If a guy looks for a girl with blonde hair, an hourglass figure, a girl with a smile like the sun and the substance of confetti, the guy tells on himself. He's not hard to figure out. He's as shallow as those he's attracted to. Show me a man's closest friends, a woman's closest friends. Show me who you most resonate with. Show me your soulmates. Show me his wife or her husband, and I can tell you generally a great deal about that man or woman by their taste in people. As I say, that is not absolute. That is a generalization, but it's one that is so reliable as a rule that you learn to count on it until other facts prove you wrong. This, too, confirms the previous thought, namely that good associates sharpen and hone us. But implicit in this proverb is also the idea that we not only become like those we run with, but we are attracted to friends with whom we find affinity in some respect important to us. There's that story in Nathaniel Hawthorne about the great stone face. It seems that in this New England town, just outside of it, there was a rock formation that had the lines of a human face, lines of distinction, greatness. Not everybody could see it. You've all seen those puzzles where people say, look at this, see the so-and-so, and you can't see it, and she can't see it, but other people over here, I see it. It was a little bit like that with the great stone face. It was a point of pride with the town, and there came to be a legend associated with it, that sometime in the future, a person bearing the likeness of that face would appear and would be a great benefactor to the town. Well, legend like that has its effects, and people kept looking at every newcomer to the village and wondering if maybe this person bore the likeness of the great stone face. A boy grew up there. His name was Ernest. Ernest was fascinated by the legend, and He loved that face, that stone face that was just naturally carved into the great rock formation. He would sit on the ground out opposite that face and just ponder it. He became so studied in the great stone face that as he matured, the townsmen turned to Ernest to vet claimants who took advantage of the legend and wanted to come to town and pose as the great stone face and their great benefactor. Well, Ernest, being expert in that face, turned down posture after posture. And finally, when everybody was beginning to lose hope, somebody one day looked at Ernest and exclaimed to the townsman that Ernest bore the likeness of the great stone face. He was so intrigued with it that it began to imprint itself upon his own face. Well, that is an illustration that as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens man, and our friends define us. We have an affinity with those that we are drawn to. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. Proverbs 27:19. So the bottom line here is that the people we're drawn to tells a great deal about the affinities, the aspirations, and the affections of our hearts. Sometimes we're fooled. And the people we think we see, and they turn out not to be the people we thought they were at all. But insofar as that is the case, our friends define us. Our friends are like a mirror. And in them we see some part of ourselves, what we are, and what we aspire to be. You see that so much in marriage. My wife and I are quite different in many respects. But in the most important respects, there is much about us that is alike, particularly not in our personalities, but in our character. Thirdly, the Proverbs teach us that our friends sustain us. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Good friends, not acquaintances, but good friends, tight friends, are like family. Sometimes, in fact, they're even closer because the relationship is built upon soul knitting rather than a gene pool. No man, no woman is an island. A loner is dangerous to himself and others. God did not create us for solitude. Too much solitude can lead to insanity or be a reflection of insanity. God created a society. We people need each other. We need other people to share our joys. And we need other people to share in our pain and suffering. I remember in 1972, I had the privilege of making my first trip to Israel. It's kind of a long story, too long to tell here, but a man in my church, knowing that I was a teacher and thought it would be of great benefit to me to have the opportunity to go to the Holy Land, just arranged for me to go alone, but connect up in New York with a tour group. Well, I loved the trip. I was gone 23 days and saw many countries, the highlight of which was spending a good deal of that time in Israel. But the downside of the whole trip was that when I got home, I didn't have anybody to share it with. I could tell my wife about it and all that kind of thing, but it wasn't like her being there and us sharing these experiences. We need people to share our joys, and we need people to share our pain and suffering. Our friends sustain us. Now, the Proverbs gives us some marks of bad companions. One kind is the person who makes sport of evil. "Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge." Chapter 14:7. Another hint that we are recast morally into the image of the people that we travel with. "Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool," 10:23. "Fools mock at sin," chapter 14:9. "They don't just indulge in sin, they take pleasure in iniquity and idiocy, and they mock at the notion of sin, thinking it strange that we do not run with them in their same ride of excesses," as Peter says. Fools are everywhere. Some years ago, in a Sunday paper, someone was defending the excesses of artists. They dismissed the perversions of people like Michael Jackson and the Britney Spears and others that you can tick off, with the observation that kooks and artists are the same thing. In other words, perversion and strangeness just goes with the territory. Not with all, of course, but with way too many. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil and from kooks and fools like that. But a fool is arrogant and careless. Chapter 14, verse 16. So you want to avoid persons who make sport of evil. That doesn't go to say that as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, we do not want to approach them. We do not want to help them. When they need a helping hand, it does not mean that we do not want to share Christ with them. Of course not. But it means that they're not the kind we want to run with. Another kind we don't want to run with is a chronic malcontent who's always stirring up trouble. Proverbs 24:21 says, "Fear the Lord and the king, for it is the Lord who ordains submission to rulers and governors," you see. "And do not associate with the rebellious, for those too will send sudden destruction on them," and who knows what by the calamities they bring. In short, when one runs around with malcontents, one is unequally matched against both God and constituted human authority, and we may buy ourselves more trouble than we bargained for. People who are always stirring up the mud in the bottom of the bucket are unhappy, discontent persons, who can only be happy when they are miserable and engage others around them in their same disgruntled state of mind. Inevitably, these types make trouble, and they get in trouble, succeeding only in compounding their own unhappiness and that of those around them. The chronic grumbler, the murmurer, never makes a good friend because the last thing they're interested in is your welfare. All they really want is an ally in their discontent. So in making friends and maintaining friendships, stay away from the chronic malcontent. Stay away from those who make sport of evil. Another to stay clear of in friends and friendships is a whispering motor mouth who deals in dirt. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers a transgression, that is, does not broadcast an offense or misdeed that serves no good purpose to reveal, seeks love, is pursuing a loving course. But he who repeats a matter that can only injure and with reckless disregard for the consequences of others, that's the kind of person who separates intimate friends. Such people are lethal to our social well-being. What one gains from them in titillating information is likely to be lost eventually in painful alienation from dear friends. Your circle of friends, you don't want a whispering motor mouth who deals in dirt. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a slanderer. Proverbs 20:19. Anybody who operates in that whisper or gossip mode is no safer as our friends than an enemy. The perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer or whisperer separates intimate friends. 16:28. He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. 17:20. So eventually the mean mouth, the slandering mouth, the whisperer, will trip over its own tongue and come to grief. And if we find ourselves guilty or tarnished by association, if not corrupted by hanging with such people. People who want to know all the dirt have to stoop to its level and wind up never rising above it. I have known people who were pretty decent people in themselves, but they maintained a friendship with somebody who was what we called a whisperer. They deal in dirt, and they were useful to them because they loved to be titillated by the stuff that this person was always coming up with. But eventually, you'll get caught up in the very dirt that will injure you as well as others. Stay away from gluttons and guzzlers. Listen to this, Proverbs 28:7. "Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." That's Proverbs 23:20. "He who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father." 28:7. These types, the heavy drinkers of wine and the gluttonous eaters, symbolize lazy, undisciplined people who live only for pleasure and lack any serious purpose in life. problem drinkers and constant eaters lack discipline, are seldom productive, typically riddled with guilt, make a lot of bad decisions, live life on the edge, and usually at some point go over it. Not uncommonly, gluttons and guzzlers are classic hedonists, pleasure seekers, and party people who are not useful for any serious purpose. And those who run with them will become like them. So watch out for, quote, friends and, quote, companions who lack seriousness of purpose. That's what this proverb is talking about, who are devoid of any discipline. Good time Charlies are great company only for those whose idea of the good life is belching, boozing, and betting. Stay clear of companions like those who so often inhabit, for example, in college life, fraternities and sororities, and their college life is little more than a blur of wild party and beer bust. And you've heard people say that very thing. Avoid association with kids who like to bill themselves as wild and crazy guys or girls whose ideas of fun always start with four yahoos in backward ball caps and a few six-packs racing around town with a couple of blonde airheads whooping and hollering and trying harder than Dennis Rodman to call attention to themselves. Friends like that only succeed in making you as great a fool as they are. Also watch out, the Proverbs teaches for hotheads who can't keep a lid on their emotions. Don't associate with a man given to anger, Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, or don't go with a hot-tempered man lest you learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Proverbs 14, 17 says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. And also here's this proverb, the angry man stirs up strife and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions, 29, 22. Compare 15:18 to that. Stay away from admirers who are drawn by the smell of money. True friends are drawn to us on moral ground. True friendship is a soul mating, which is why intimate friends are often closer than brothers. Brothers are based on blood, but true friends are on shared principles. Money friends are people whose attraction for you is based on parasitic possibilities. They don't like you necessarily. They like what you can do for them. And when you are unable to do for them, they will abandon you. They will always follow the scent of money and self-advantage. One of the great liabilities of having money is that one never really knows who cares about them. Some of the rich are naive enough to think their hangers-on really find something attractive in them. And some become totally cynical and abusive, trusting no one, and take to using everybody. Proverbs 19, verses 4 and 6 through 7 says, wealth adds many friends, that is, professing friends. Many will entreat the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend, ostensibly, to him who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. They look down on him. How much more do his friends go far from him? And watch out for people who make too much of their loyalty. The point is that really reliable, trustworthy friends are rare. Get used to that. Then you won't get disillusioned. How many times have we moved, leaving in our wake a chorus of tears with old friends loudly professing their undying love and determination to stay in touch? Yeah, sure, sure. Most friendships are rather strawy and wordy. They're relationships of convenience, not founded on moral affinity. Out of sight, out of mind. Well, dear friends, thank you for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word, remember, is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us in this endeavor, or want other information about this program or Jim Andrews, please visit our website at www.thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is jimandrews@thefinalwordradio.com. If this program is ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this broadcast outreach.